Thank you so much, Steve, and it is good to have you back with us, Steve. Steve has been serving for the last few months as an interim music minister at Berea First Baptist Church, and we're glad to have him back here with us in Mountain Creek. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm chapter 31. Psalm 31, one of those pew Bibles there in front of you. You'll find that on page 586, Psalm 31. While you're turning there, I'll mention that we will be finishing our Summer Psalms series next week with Psalm 32. We'll finish up next week with Psalm 32, and then the week after that, so 2 weeks from today, right before school starts back here in Greenville County, we'll begin our fall series in the book of Genesis. So we hope you plan on joining us for that as well. We're going to go at least through the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, and there at the beginning, God shows us many things that our world is talking about today. We see what God has to say about those things there in the opening chapters of the Bible. So we'll begin that 2 weeks from today. Today, as we begin, I want you to picture in your mind a familiar, maybe for many of us, a familiar summer scene. Probably for most parents in this room, you've experienced something like this. Probably most of us have at least seen something like this. I saw this a few weeks ago when I was at the pool with some other families who we know, when a little boy, I believe he's maybe 4 years old, walks out to the end of the diving board. And he's there, and he's standing. There's some other families around, and they're just kind of doing their own thing, and he's really uncertain. He's not sure what he's going to do. He's looking around and getting his bearings. He's looking up. He's looking down at the water. And in the water, right in front of him, is his dad. And he's saying, "It's okay, son. I'm right here. Jump in." And today I believe that God may be calling some in this room to jump in for the very first time. And I think for many in this room, for most of us in this room, God is calling us to jump in again today and every day to continually entrust ourselves to God. Psalm chapter 31. We're going to read together. I'm going to read the first 16 verses. We'll cover the whole psalm together. But would you stand with me? Let's honor God's word. Psalm 31. "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul, and you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. You may be seated, and let's pray together. Father, we are here to worship you, and God, we are here to hear from you. Hear your word. God, as we hear your word, our prayer is that you would do a work in our hearts. God, we ask you that we would be like those in verse 24 of this chapter, that we would be those who, because of your word, we would be strong, we would take courage, we would wait on you. God, that we would be those who love you, trusting that you preserve us. So God, do a work in us today. Father, also right now we're mindful of our brother Ken Sims, and we pray for him, we pray for Joy, we pray for their family and the loss of his brother Bobby. God, we pray even these verses that we just read. God, would you incline your ear to him in his prayers? Lord, would you be a rock of refuge for him and his family right now and the loss of his brother, and be there for his mother? God, would you be a strong fortress for her and for Ken and for Joy? Remind them again that you are their rock and their fortress. Would you lead them and guide them in this time? God, be gracious to them, for they are in distress. They are experiencing grief. But God, may they know, may they trust in you, knowing that you are their God and you are with them always. And so keep us praying for them. May we serve them well in this time. Again, God, our prayer now is that you would lead us. Give us open hearts, soft hearts ready to be shaped by you. Help us to entrust ourselves completely to you. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. The question this morning is this: have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? And I think when you hear that question, maybe many of us think of the closing of a revival service. Maybe you hear that in Billy Graham's voice, and emphasizing that word. I wish I could mimic his voice for you, but emphasizing that word, surrender. And I want to ask that question in that way today for some of us. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? But for many of us, those of us who know Jesus, who are Christians, for many of us, I want to add one word onto that question. And I would ask you this: have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ today? Have you entrusted yourself completely to him today and every day? That's where Psalm 31 is pointing us, which means that's what God is asking us to consider today, what he's asking you to consider today. There are two main things that I want us to see from Psalm 31 this morning, but before we can get into that, there's one preliminary matter that we have to address. And this preliminary matter first, and that's this. I read Psalm 31 as Christian scripture, as scripture about Jesus, because I understand all scripture to be Christian scripture. Now, all scripture is Christian scripture. So 2 weeks ago, we dealt with the dual authorship of scripture, that these psalms that we've been reading, they've been written, yes, by David. David is their author, but also God is their author. And David is the author, but also God is the author. And because of that, we can say that all scripture is Christian scripture. So David meant Psalm 31 as a reflection of his experiences. It's about David, but God as author meant it also to point us to Jesus Christ. Now, Psalm 31 is a psalm about David, and Psalm 31 points us to Jesus. Psalm 31 is about David. So in my Bible, the Bible that I have that I take notes in and I write in, right over the top of Psalm 31, there in all caps, is the word trust. I've just written the word trust across this psalm. It's a psalm of trust for David in a time of need. You can skim your eyes with me over the psalm and see what David is facing. David has opponents. He calls them his enemy in verse 8, his adversaries in verse 11. They're his enemies who have hidden a net for him in verse 4. They're trying to trap him. They've lied against him, verse 18 tells us. They're surrounding him, verse 21. Verse 15 says they're persecuting him. He has these enemies around him. They're coming to get him. They're out to get him. But it's not just that. It's not just the enemies around him. David has another enemy, himself. Look at verse 10. Verse 10, my life is spent with sorrow, my years with sighing, my strength fails. Why? Not because of his enemies out there, not because of his adversaries that are trying to trap him, their tactics against him. He says, my strength fails, verse 10, because of my iniquity, because of my sin, my bones waste away. David is confessing he has enemies all around him, but he knows that's not his only enemy. He also has an enemy within him. So it just compounds everything. There's a real enemy outside, and there's a real enemy inside. Those around him and his own sin within him together are seeking to destroy him. So look at how he describes his experience. He says, I have become a reproach, verse 11. I've become a reproach. I'm a disgrace. I'm a source of shame. Verse 12, I've been forgotten. He says, I've become like a broken vessel. Imagine a pot that's just broken beyond repair, a bowl in your home maybe that's dropped and shattered beyond repair. I'm like a broken vessel. I've just been cast off as useless. Verse 11, he describes being abandoned. He says, people are avoiding me. If they see me on the street, they're going to the other side of the road. They're just avoiding me. What are you facing this morning? Who are your adversaries this morning? Pressures from your job? Maybe strife with coworkers? Maybe strife with friends? Struggles in your own family. Maybe people are slandering you. Have you ever felt like that your people are avoiding you? Have you ever felt like that you've been abandoned, maybe even by God? David says in Psalm 22, I've said in my alarm in verse 22, he says, I'm cut off from your sight. Have you ever felt like you've been abandoned even by God, that you're alone, that no one really understands what you're going through? That's what David is feeling. And I'm guessing that most of us in this room can relate. And I think it's a pretty safe bet that there are probably more in this room right now than we realize who can relate to that very feeling right now. That was David's experience. Psalm 31 is about David. But Psalm 31 isn't just about David. Psalm 31 points us to Jesus. Psalm 31 is about Jesus. Jesus is the one who became a reproach. He's the one who was seen as a disgrace, as an object of shame. Jesus is the one who was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus is the one who was lied against. He was plotted against. He was surrounded. He was persecuted. He was trapped by his enemies. And though he could not say, my strength fails because of my iniquity, the gospel writers, we saw this earlier in Luke, the gospel writers in the New Testament attest to his innocence. The book of Hebrews says that he was without sin. Jesus couldn't say, my strength fails because of my iniquity, but he could say, because of our iniquities. Jesus took on our sins. He took on our iniquities on the cross, where his physical strength did fail, where his bones did waste away, his body wasted from grief, his life was spent to the point of death. And it was there on the cross where Jesus prayed what David prayed, into your hands I commit my spirit. That's what Jesus prayed. And that's what David first prayed here in verse 5. All of that experience that David experienced in Psalm 31, all the hardships, all the struggles, all the trials, I want you to look through this chapter again at his statements of faith. Look at David's statements of faith in this chapter. Verse 1, he says, I take refuge in the Lord. Verse 3, he says, you are my rock and my fortress. Verse 4, he says, you are a refuge, you are my refuge. Verse 6, I trust in the Lord. Verse 7, I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love. Verse 14, I trust in you. Verse 14, I say you are my God. Verse 17, he says, I call upon you. He calls God the faithful God in verse 5. He tells us in verse 23, verse 24, to love the Lord and to wait for the Lord. But there are two statements that I believe that you could call the linchpin statements of faith for David. Everything else hangs on this. Verse 15, everything that David is facing, and he's not sure how it's going to turn out. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And here's his confession in verse 15. My times are in your hands. And that's all he can say. My times are in your hands. In verse 5, into your hand I commit my spirit. I'm giving myself, I'm giving my situation, I'm completely entrusting myself to you, God. I'm counting myself as completely yours. Do with me as you will. Come what may, I trust in you. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And that's the prayer that Jesus took on his lips at the cross. Luke chapter 23, verse 46, we heard it earlier in the service. Jesus prayed, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus prayed that, and then he died. For us, Psalm 31 shows us David's life. It shows us David's faith. But most of all, it points to that. You see, Jesus in Luke chapter 24, after his resurrection from the dead, Jesus told the disciples, we'll put verse 44 on the screen for you. Jesus told the disciples in Luke 24, verse 26 and 27, he's on the road to Emmaus, and he tells the disciples that it was necessary that he would suffer, that he would die, that he would rise again. He said that everything in the scriptures must be fulfilled concerning him. He said that the Psalms that pointed to him must be fulfilled. Jesus was saying, Psalm 31 is about me. Psalm 31 points to me. Psalm 31 is about Jesus. It had to be fulfilled in him. All of scripture is Christian scripture. Psalm 31 was fulfilled when Jesus took it on his lips on the cross, the innocent sufferer. And because of that, the fulfillment of this theme of completely entrusting ourselves to God that came through Jesus on the cross, there's two main things. They're long statements, and maybe you're like me, and when I'm hearing a sermon, I'm taking notes, I want to write everything down. So don't worry, we're going to leave these long statements up on the screen for you if you're writing. Number one is this, because Jesus, so we want to take the step from David in Psalm 31 to Jesus. Now, because Jesus entrusted himself to God without any qualification, he expects nothing less from us. Because Jesus entrusted himself to God without any qualification, he expects nothing less from us. So like David in Psalm 31, only more so, Jesus completely entrusted himself to the Father. Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. And then he breathed his last. He was completely entrusting himself to the Father without any qualifications, and he expects nothing less from us. So whether you're facing adversity and trials, whether you're facing opponents and enemies like David, or maybe you're in a time of prosperity, maybe you're in a time of blessing, comfort, either way, Jesus' message to all who would believe is follow me. Follow me. That's why we say here at Mountain Creek, we're following Jesus together. In Mark 8, Jesus told not just the disciples, but it says in verse 34 that he calls the crowd together. Jesus has the disciples and the crowd, and he tells all of them, follow me. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross and follow me. Jesus says to all, follow me. That means to imitate him. That means to walk in the way that he walked, to live life in the way that he lived life. And his life was lived in complete surrender to the Father. Into your hand I commit my spirit was not just something that Jesus said on the cross. That was the banner over his life. John chapter 6, he said, my will is to do the will of him who sent me. John chapter 12, he said, I say what the Father has told me. And what he said and in what he did, Jesus entrusted himself completely to God. And then he said, follow me. You know, the problem when we choose to not live like this, the problem when we choose to go our own way, to live not entrusting ourselves to the Father, is that we're lying about who we are and about who God is. When we're not entrusting ourselves completely to the Father, we're lying about who we are and we're lying about who God is. Whenever you choose to live your own way, you're relying on your own wisdom, relying on your own strength, you're lying about who you are. Because you weren't made to live apart from God. You were made to live under the good, loving authority of God. But we don't like that word. We don't like the word authority. We don't really want to entrust ourselves to God because we don't really want someone else to have any say over our lives. But consider who God is. Consider who God is. What does Psalm 31 say? It reminds us that he's faithful. Three times in Psalm 31, we read of his steadfast love. He's faithful. He's full of steadfast love to his people. God is committed to your good, and that's the one that you're to submit to. That's the one you're to entrust yourself to surrender to. Scripture calls us to surrender constantly to him, to make constant confession that my times are in your hand. What does that mean? It means that we're to be willing to confess. We're to confess. You're to confess that you're weak and that he's strong. And you're to confess, we're to confess that we're foolish and he's wise. That we're full of iniquity and he's full of steadfast love. That's what David did. If you're familiar with Scripture, you know David as the giant slayer. He's the one who took down Goliath. You know David as the great king. You know David as the man after God's own heart, but here he is in Psalm 31 saying, I'm in distress. My eyes wasted from grief. My soul and my body also. My life is spent with sorrow, my years with sighing, my strength fails. I've been forgotten. I'm like a broken vessel, but I trust in you. I say, you are my God. David, the giant slayer, confessing his weakness. So can I speak to the men in the room for just a minute? For the men? There are few things more manly than confessing your weakness before God. Or maybe we could open it up for the ladies as well. We should say it like this. There are few things that display true strength like confessing weakness. David, a man after God's own heart. There are few things more godly than admitting my weakness before God. You see, you cannot entrust yourself to God and rely on your own strength at the same time. You cannot live completely surrendered to God and seek to follow your own wisdom at the same time. We got to live in a reliance on God's strength, on God's wisdom. And we find his promises for his strength and we find his wisdom in this book. Here in Scripture, you cannot entrust yourself to God completely without living closely tethered to this book. So if you're not reading Scripture regularly, let me just encourage you, start reading Scripture regularly. There is nothing more significant for your spiritual life. There's nothing more significant for your life than for you to be regularly reading, prayerfully reading Scripture. David entrusted himself completely to God, but more importantly, Christ entrusted himself completely to the Father, and he said, "Follow me." So make your prayer, the prayer of Psalm 31, the prayer of Jesus, "Into your hands I commit your spirit, my times are in your hand." That's how Jesus lived, and that's how we're to live as we follow him. Number two is this. Because Jesus said, "Into your hand I commit my spirit," and then died, we can say, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." That's Psalm 31, verse 5. Jesus prayed the first half of it on the cross, and because of his death, we can pray all of it, trusting that God will be faithful to redeem us. David's greatest problem wasn't his adversaries. It was his own sin. We see that in other psalms, and we see that here in Psalm 31. In other psalms, David prays like this. Psalm 51, David prays, "For I know my transgression. My sin is before me. Against you, you only have I sinned." Psalm 32, next week, David speaks of his groaning because of his sin, confessing his transgression. Here in Psalm 31, David prays, "My life is spent with sorrow. My strength fails because of my iniquity." He asks throughout this psalm for God's favor and God's grace. Verse 9, you see it. He says, "Be gracious to me." There's an acknowledgement that he doesn't deserve it. Verse 16, "Let your face shine on me." So like Esther before the king, he's saying, "Show me favor. Though I don't deserve to come before you, show me grace and favor." He doubted God's goodness in verse 22. He doubted that God cared for him. He doubted that God was strong enough to save him. But still, God heard his prayer for mercy. David, again, leaning on God's grace. He doesn't deserve it. David recognized that while all these external things posed a threat against his life, his own sin put him under the judgment of God. And that if God didn't step in, there would be no hope. But God did step in. When Jesus prayed on the cross, "Into your hand I commit my spirit," and then breathed his last and died, he did that so that God could redeem sinners like David and sinners like me and sinners like you. Titus 2:14 says that he gave himself to redeem us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood. By his death we have forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." Because Jesus said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," and died, we can trust him to be faithful to his promise to redeem. He's done everything necessary to forgive all your trespasses, all your sins. And for those in the room who are struggling today like David, you need to know that if God gave the life of his son, if God gave the life of his son so that he could redeem you from your greatest adversary, sin, then he certainly can be trusted to redeem you from every other adversary that you face in life. If he gave his son to redeem you from the greatest enemy, he'll be with you no matter what enemy you face. So then, like David, you can say, "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You are my refuge." The boy on the diving board that day at the pool, he jumped in, entrusting himself completely to his father. And again, that question is, have you? Have you completely surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Have you trusted completely in the one who laid down his life for your sins? Have you given your life to follow him by faith? That's what it means to be saved. To trust in Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins. Not my works, not what I do, but what he's done for me when he gave his life. Have you done that? Have you trusted in Jesus? And Christian, today, are you surrendering your life to him? Every day, are you completely entrusting yourself to him? Are you following him? Whatever you're facing today, would you give it? Would you give it to him? Are you confessing your weakness? And are you looking to him for wisdom, for strength, for refuge? We're going to sing one final song, and we're going to confess what this psalm confesses, that God is a strong fortress. He's a mighty fortress. I want to encourage you to sing and rejoice in that like David did in Psalm 31, or come to the front and pray. Maybe that's a step for you as you step out to lay that burden on God, to trust him. God, would you take this? Maybe you need to be saved. I encourage you to step out, come and talk with me. I'll be here at the front. After the service, I'll be right out the back. But you come and talk to me about how you can be saved. Would you bow and let's pray as our worship team comes to the front to lead us. Father, I ask now that you would lead us to respond however we need to live in faith, to surrender to you, to completely entrust ourselves to you. God, help us to be a people together who say, in your hands, we commit our spirit, our lives, we trust them to you, that we would acknowledge that our times are in your hands. So bring comfort to those who need that comfort. Remind them that you are the rock and the refuge. But God, we pray also for those in this room, maybe those who are hearing our voice online. God, I pray you would shine the light of the gospel. You would give faith that they would hear your word and believe the gospel. They would be saved. Remind us the words of the psalm. May they stay with us this week. God, you are our fortress and our strength. We praise you now. In Christ's name, amen.